When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
How you feeling today, Dad?
It's like every other day.
Every other day, except it's been a while.
It's been a while. It's good to be back sitting on the chair.
Yes, a little sneaky episode that we've snuck in here.
Maybe. Let's see.
All right, let's get to it. Welcome to Spies and Lies, an espionage podcast co-hosted by me, Omri Rose, who spent his childhood living undercover thanks to his dear old dad and co-host, Jason, a retired former spy master of one of the top intelligence agencies in the world. Without further ado, let's dive into today's episode. Wagner. Downfall? Question mark?
It's current, as you can imagine.
Yes. Some might say this is an extension almost of the Ukraine current episodes.
Of course.
Obviously,
it is.
It's all related.
Yes.
Before we get too deep into this episode, I'll start off with a little bit of news that my father and I are well into our preparations for season two. We've recorded a couple episodes, and everything's coming along, and we will have some announcements for you in the near future about when that's going to be and how that's going to develop. Right?
Yes, that's exciting and looking forward to it.
Yes. It's taken some time, but time is something that we have to find and make, and sometimes it's not always the easiest thing to do.
Correct.
All right. So how did this episode come about? Well, we obviously weren't necessarily planning on launching until we did season two. And then I was driving in my car, picked up my wife, and then suddenly I get a call from my father. Omri, have you seen the news? And I was like, no, I've been picking up my wife. What's going on? Look at the news. The plane's been shot down. Okay, interesting. And so obviously that brings us to here. I was like, well, maybe should we do an episode on it? We actually had thought about doing an episode when Prigozhin did his initial coup even, but I believe you were out of the country, so we couldn't really get to it quite on time. Anyway. Today is August 24th, 2023, to put this in perspective. Yesterday, on August 23rd, outside Moscow, Yevgeny Prigozhin, who is the head of the Wagner military group in Russia and abroad, was supposedly, allegedly, on a plane, private jet, that went down. Let's
put it
that way.
Did not make to its destination.
It did not make it to its destination. So that is the impetus of what's going on and everything surrounding it. But for those of you who don't know why we're talking about Prigozhin, why this is relevant, or how this connects to Ukraine, we need a little background, don't we, Dad?
A little, not too much.
Not too much, yes, not too much. So the short version is that Yevgeny Prigozhin is the head of the Wagner military group, which is essentially private military mercenaries, you could call them, hired by Russia to do different things, or
we'll talk about it a little bit.
Some might say are a part of the Russian military or a paramilitary organization. The relationship is a delicate balance. Prigozhin and Putin have a long relationship going back many, many years. Prigozhin comes from more humble beginnings, was like Putin's cook at some point and became very connected through cooking for Putin and rose to the ranks, and then eventually wound up leading the Wagner military group.
He had a hot dog stand.
Yes.
In Leningrad, where Putin used to enjoy his food. And from there, the relationship develops from selling hot dogs on the corner to selling him anything else he wants he can get for him.
Yeah.
Because that's the kind of guy he was. He's the guy who...
Resourceful guy.
He could get things done and no questions asked.
No questions asked. And up until the war in Ukraine, the Wagner Military Group was really a branch of Russian operations, you could say, when Russia wanted something done but didn't necessarily want their name stamped on it and have some level of plausible deniability or distance. They were involved in a lot of activities in Africa and Western Asia, coup, defenses, protection, all sorts of things like that. Anything you want to expand on that little element?
Maybe a bit later.
Later, okay. All right. This all changed when the war in Ukraine went underway, and it didn't quite go as smoothly as Putin and the Russian authorities would have liked. That's when they called in Wagner to help them out. So Wagner was a well-trained, well-organized group, at least its core element, and they were brought in, and they had some successes in Ukraine, quite a bit, actually. Later, there was some controversy or strange things when Wagner started this recruitment drive, and they brought in these prisoners, saying that any prisoner who would fight for Wagner would be freed, and then they basically used the prisoners as, like, fodder for cannon fire, just sending them in. So there was a difference between the hardcore, old-school Wagner elites and the more fresh Wagner recruits that they brought in. And essentially, Wagner was helping, making ground, making way, and then things started to get prickly between Wagner, the Russian military, and Putin, because Prigozhin did not like how things were being conducted, didn't like how his troops were being treated, and didn't like how the Russian military viewed them as part of their own military. Things essentially came to a head when there were plans to fully integrate Wagner into the Russian military, and in fact even claims that the Russian military had bombed a Wagner base and were taking credit for Wagner victories. This all eventually culminated in June 23rd and 24th of 2023, when Prigozhin led a small uprising, mutiny, revolt, coup, whatever you want to call it, against Putin and the Kremlin's authority. It was called the March on Moscow, which saw some minor skirmishes and where his Wagner military group shot down several Russian military helicopters. There was no big, huge pitched battle, but there were some little skirmishes. There were Russian casualties. No Wagner confirmed casualties, as far as I'm aware. They took over military headquarters in the city of Rostov-on-Don and demanded the ousting of the Russian defense minister, Sergei Shoigu. As I said, they claimed the Russian military launched a strike on the Wagner bases, and they were trying to integrate Wagner into the regular military. Essentially, this all ended as quickly as it began, with an agreement that Prigozhin would be basically banished, exiled to Belarus, and that the troops, the elite troops that were with him, would not be integrated into the Russian military. However, the troops that were still in Ukraine were going to be integrated with the military, and those were the more fresh
recruits.
Well,
they had a choice to make a decision if they wanted to.
Right. Yes. Now, when he left Rostov-on-Don, he was left and applauded as a hero by the people for standing up.
Yes, that was something we should remember.
Absolutely. I mentioned that specifically for remembering that. Anything you want to comment on so far?
Well, there's a lot of things to talk about here, just on this aspect of it, and that is, where did it come from, all this Wagner group? And it wasn't something that was known before. I mean, some people knew about it or heard about them. You could say it's a Russian version of the French Legion, putting together people who want to continue to fight, but they need an organization behind them or a cause. And it was a very clever way of getting people that maybe have finished working and serving in the Russian forces or other countries that wanted to continue to be involved in military activities and wanted to get paid for it.
Semi-military activities.
Well, some of it military activities. And somehow, for some reason, he was able to put together a group of people, and slowly it grew in numbers. I think the first time we actually saw them or involved in, they were active, whereas actually in Syria, where they were involved, and then they moved to Africa. And basically using their influence and their capabilities to, you would say, promote the Russian interest in these countries without having, as you said, a fingerprint of the Russian, official Russia, involved with it. They were fighting extremism. They were fighting extremists groups. But
and backing Russian sympathizers in power.
Yes, you could say they were making sure that some of the countries they were working in eventually would be favorable towards Russia.
Russia's interests, absolutely. Yes.
So that
buy helps. Our oil. Buy our grain.
Not only oil, but it could be other minerals, other capabilities. Weapons.
Give us your stuff.
It was a win-win for Putin and win-win for the Wagner Group and its leaders. Although you have to mention that he did not have a military background. He wasn't like a military leader.
Background.
But he had something else. He had the capability of putting things together and leading it, and has the charisma to lead his forces and get it done. Then what happened was that, as you mentioned correctly, in Ukraine, things were not going very well for the regular army, because eventually 18-year-olds or 19-year-olds with not much experience and not well equipped with weapons were not able to do and complete the missions they really wanted to do in Ukraine. And then Putin had to make a decision. Does he just rely on what he has, or he goes somewhere else? So he did two major decisions. One, he decided, let's use equipment that's not Russian, that could be supplied by other countries, in this case Iranian missiles, because he didn't have these kind of missiles or the quantity or the kind that he thought would be useful for him. So that's admitting the first thing, that he is not able to have a weapon that is able to change the battleground. And of course, the second thing is his forces were not good enough or strong enough or enough will to win the battle that he wants it to. So he decided he'll go to his friend, and this is the first time that actually he was asked in to be part of the actual military campaign. Now the question is, how do you integrate a group that has its own leaders, its own generals,
its own way of doing things,
its own way of doing things, its own weapons, its own doctrine, and integrate it into the normal army? Now, when that happens, two things happen. Or there's a success, or there's a lot of power struggle. And that is what happened. Putin was not happy with what he saw, what the Russians were performing. So he blamed the Russian leadership. And that was all the main thing was, he was blaming the Russian leadership for lack of strategy, lack of leadership, lack of courage.
Success at the end of the day.
And his men were able to do the work.
Prigozhin's men.
So he wanted he wanted the Russian army to change if they wanted to use his people, because he was not willing for them to use his people the way they wanted to use it.
Right.
It wasn't right for him. So we're talking about a power struggle in the Russian hierarchy. That never ends well, as we know.
Yes. Just to put things in perspective, 2 months after the coup, Prigozhin allegedly was on this plane that just got shot down, or was downed, or fell. We'll get into that in a moment. Anything else you want to say before I give a few more timeline things?
No, but continue. I will.
Okay, so some interesting things that happened within those 2 months. Again, the agreement was, okay, Wagner Group stands down, Prigozhin leaves, banished to Belarus, we're not going to be integrated. A very strange agreement to make, some might say. There was no real resistance along Prigozhin's march to Moscow. What the end result might have been, who knows. But that all happened, as I said, June 23rd and 24th. The next date that we know of Prigozhin, the next thing that we see of Prigozhin, is on June 29th. There's photos that show Prigozhin in St. Petersburg meeting with Putin to discuss Wagner Group's future. So even after this attempted coup, they still met to discuss the future. Okay, seems relatively logical. You know, they set those differences aside. We're still friends, and they have to figure out what Wagner's future is. Okay, so far, okay. Didn't get killed in that particular meeting. We'll put that aside for now. In June and July, flight data shows that Prigozhin's jet was flying around Belarus, St. Petersburg, and Moscow, and that new construction of a Wagner military base in Belarus was confirmed by satellite images. On July 14th, there's a photo of Prigozhin assumed to be at the Belarus camp, which was also released. Then later on July 19th, there's a video showing Prigozhin and his number two, Dmitry Utkin, remember that name, it'll come in later, shows him speaking with troops in the new camp, discussing Wagner's new role to train Belarusian soldiers and their new focus, with a mention of Africa. On July 27th, photos appear of Prigozhin at the Russia-African summit in St. Petersburg, along with different representatives there. So again, we have him coming back and forth in Russia, in St. Petersburg, meeting Putin. And then finally, On August 21st, 2 days before the plane goes down, Prigozhin appeared in his first official video since the coup, appearing in this recruitment-type video where the Wagner Group is claiming that it's in Africa. It might very well be, maybe not. And basically, this the saying is, we're going to make Africa freer. And then 2 days later, plane gets downed or is down or something like that. Anything you want to add so far?
No, these are the facts.
These are the facts.
These are the facts.
Setting the stage.
Yes.
Okay. It was a strange deal, some might say, to just let him go. Putin is not known to be forgiving to his enemies. There was no real resistance. Why did Prigozhin stop? Why was this deal made? It seemed a bit too easy, don't you think, at the time?
Everybody was puzzled about what was going on.
All of it.
I think not only Prigozhin was puzzled about what he wants to do, although he made it very clear he was not happy with the decisions that the Russian hierarchy made about his troops. And the main mistake that was made was wanting them to be part of the Russian army, as you said. Mm-hmm. They gave a deadline, I think it was the 1st of July. He was didn't want that to happen, and he didn't get the backing of Putin at the time, saying that's not going to happen. So he was not happy. Now, it was the first time that the Wagner Group was actually integrated, working together, not hiding, that they are part of the Russian war machine,
establishment,
or whatever it is. You would say, does Putin want the Wagner Group? Yes. Does he want them to continue to do their work? Yes.
How he wants them to do it, though.
Does he want them to be assisting him in different places around the world? Yes. Is he happy that they won the war for him? No, they didn't win the war. They won a couple of battles in Ukraine? Yes, it was very important for the morale. Is he happy that Prigozhin went against the Russian generals? No. Is he happy that he actually made a mutiny? No. And was he happy that he saw that he got a lot of support on the road? As you said, there were people applauding him and happy with him and making him look like a hero because he portrayed himself as a Russian patriot and a hero. That's all he said all the time. I want to save Russian blood. I want to make sure that no Russians get killed for nothing. And that was his motto. He says, I'm going because I feel that something's going wrong.
His stated goals in the coup was to oust the defense minister.
Was to change the way things are run at the battlefield.
Yes. And not to overthrow Putin. That was not a stated claim, though a lot of people
He wanted more responsibility of what's going on the ground. He would have been happier if he would have had more forces, or he would be in command, you could say. That wasn't going to happen. But he wasn't willing to be after the battle, and that was more or less a stalemate. He was not happy that the Russian military wants to take over his people. Now, who are these people? Now, as you said, there are two kinds of people. The loyal core guys that were with him were from different parts of the world, mainly Russians, but not only. But the other people that he took under his wing they had to find people. They tried to take volunteers, but you can't make an army out of recruiting people and from the street and bringing them in, and after 2 weeks sending them to the battlefield. That's not an army. That's like the old days. This is, in today's world, they can't do anything. What do they know? Maybe they played in computer games, but this is the real stuff. So where do you find people? It so happens the Russian prisons have a lot of people because they censor a lot of people, and a lot of people are, as sometimes there's some baddies there as well. So you have some people, and they were given, if you stay alive after 6 months, you'll get your freedom. And of course you get paid a little bit. A lot of the people there had no clue about fighting, but it was, if you're a criminal sitting in a prison somewhere in one of the places in Russia and you have a get out of jail free or half free instead of staying another 10, 15 years in prison.
Or for life.
It's better to take that chance than anything else. So that's what they did. So he has a whole lot of riffraffs, a whole lot of people that you wouldn't want to send on the street by themselves with your family. So these people were slaughtered. But some of them were not. And he had responsibilities. And he had as well, he had to pay some of them, and he was not happy with the way things were going. Now, did he use all his forces? He didn't use, I don't think, all his forces, but it's easier to get rid of the people you don't need than get rid of the people you do need. And his main reputation, of course, was in Africa, so he kept a core there, but he felt that's where his his raison d'etre, is that's where he should be doing the work. So from his point of view, to stay, and for the Russian point of view, it was important that the Wagner Group stays alive. Now, the Wagner Group stays alive, but does that mean that Rogozin has to stay alive?
As far as Putin's concerned, maybe not.
Now let's go to the next stage. The next stage, okay, what is going on in Russia that made, you could say, a decision that it is legitimate in their eyes to eliminate Prigozhin?
Well, I want to stress the importance and significance of Prigozhin's little mutiny uprising. You know, this is the first display, public mass display of opposition against Putin that seemingly was not immediately crushed with force. It was a monumentous occasion as far as news was concerned when it happened, for as most people are aware. People were shocked by a number of things. One, that it started, and two, that it didn't immediately get crushed. The amount of success that it had and the popularity.
The panic that there was in Moscow,
yes,
and in Russia about what's going on. And there was real question marks about, where's this leading us? Is this just him marching with his people? Are they going to have support? Is it going to be an opportunity for other elements inside of Russia to decide to make a change?
It showed weakness in a lot of ways. Weakness on the ruling powers in Russia.
Right. What do you do when you have weakness?
You show strength.
And how do you show strength?
By squishing.
And how do you squish?
Maybe by shooting down a plane.
Maybe, but that's... We'll talk about that
in a moment. A little similar in story with Ukraine, even. You know, everyone thought, okay, Ukraine's going to be crushed in a second. Russia's coming in. But that didn't happen. You know, so a little bit similar in that parallel. And, of course, it's all happened because of the war and all this kind of stuff. So I guess the biggest thing to state, looking ahead, is that Russia has elections in 2024.
Elections for what? I mean, Putin is going to be nominated anyway.
Sure, but yeah. It has elections nonetheless.
Yes,
It's a democratic nation, supposedly.
Okay.
So bear that in mind as to how this might affect all this. A little bit of details on the actual crash itself. Russian state news media reported on Wednesday, August 23rd, 2023, that there was a private jet that crashed outside Moscow. To the northwest of Moscow, 10 were killed, according to Russian state media, on the private jet that was flying from Moscow to St. Petersburg. They confirm that Prigozhin was on the flight.
First, he was on the list, and then that it was confirmed he was on the flight.
First, that he was on the list for the flight, and then later that they found remains that they...
Only 8 bodies.
Early identified, yes, only 8 bodies as well. Flight data showed that the plane was at 28,000 feet and then disappeared around 6 p.m. Moscow time. Some sources say that the Russian air defense shot the plane down. Those sources tend to be Wagner-connected sources. There was a second plane, a second Wagner jet, that was flying behind the first that, when the first was shot down, turned around and flew back to Moscow, landing safely. So be aware of that. That was also a Wagner plane. Was it a crash? Was it an explosion on the plane? Was it shot down? We don't know. These are questions that are unanswered at the moment. It seems likely that this was a very sudden and immediate thing that occurred. Video images show the plane plummeting, so not some technical issue potentially, unless it was some sort of explosion. Was it shot down? Was it hijacked? Was it blown up? We don't know at the moment. Russia claims that it's opening an investigation committee to study the crash. Can we trust them? Do we know? We'll have to find out.
Well, they will find out that there might have been explosives on the plane that blew up.
Exactly. Or not.
And that's why. That's a nice way to cover things up, isn't it?
Sure. The jet itself was not serviced by its makers since 2019 due to sanctions against Russia. That's not to say the plane was falling apart. I'm sure there are plenty of professional people that could maintain it. But by its official makers, you know, if you have a car from Honda and you're supposed to take it in for Honda to be serviced, okay, you can take it into
You can't fly a plane without doing any checks or services.
Right.
Some
were
done.
Wasn't done by the makers. Is my point. Okay. But just, you know, these are details that might be relevant for people to say different things. Now, what does this all mean? Right? What could happen? What will happen to Wagner? Is there going to be another uprising? With the head gone, is the body going to wither? Dmitry Utkin, who I mentioned before, was Wagner's number 2.
And he was actually the head of the military unit, you would say.
Yeah, and he was in charge of the operations.
And he was on the plane. And he's no longer, according to what we know, he's one of the casualties.
Right. Exactly. He also previously served in the Russian intelligence before being a part of Wagner. So, number two, it seems there's more confirmation that he's gone. As for Prigozhin himself, we're not as sure. Was this Putin's revenge? It was only a matter of time, right? Russia's revenge has long, long legs. You know, we've seen people be sought after and executed many, many years after betraying Russia. There was the poisoning cases in London of former KGB people who betrayed different things. There's also a habit of Putin's opposition in Moscow and elsewhere in Russia of falling out open windows. They seem to have an open window problem in Moscow and Russia. So,
well, you can go back even further along with Trotsky. I mean, they took care of... Russians have a habit of making sure that there's nothing left open.
Right.
And if someone is supposed to go certain places, someone makes sure he goes these places. So now let's look at this scenario from Putin's point of view.
When the news broke, Putin was seen at an 80th year celebration commemorating a battle of Soviet troops' victory over Nazis in World War II. He has yet to make a public comment about the crash.
Right. Now that's...
A few other enemies, just so we... I know, okay. I just want to get all the facts out. Okay. Prigozhin, did he have other enemies? Some could say maybe yes. This was Zelensky, maybe this was Ukraine taking him down. Maybe it was a Russian general acting on their own. Maybe it was some sort of inner Wagner conflict defector. Not likely. Based on Wagner media, they're saying that the defense minister shot down the plane, acting on behalf of Putin. And a telegram linked to Wagner claims that traitors were behind their leader's death. And I quote, "The head of the Wagner group, a hero of Russia, a true patriot of his motherland, Yevgeny Viktorovich Prigozhin, died as a result of the actions of traitors to Russia. But even in hell, he will be the best. Glory to Russia."
Yeah, he'll find a way around that to do things. Yes.
Is he a martyr?
Well, look at it.
Is he even dead?
Well, first of all, it's very difficult to do a podcast less than 24 hours after the event and predict that everything we know or heard is correct. But we have to assume that everything we understand now is the right thing, and so therefore we have to be careful on our predictions and assumptions.
Well, we can do a hypothetical of if he's dead, what that means, and if he's alive, what that means, and all those different things.
Likely
he's dead. It looks that way.
Unless he parachuted and had someone out. But no,
or if he was on the other plane for whatever reason.
No. We have to assume at this stage he's dead. Now, is it good for the Wagner group? No. Does that make them stronger or weaker?
One and two gone.
Yes. First of all, it makes them weaker. Someone has to take over from them. And it's going to be someone who will be appointed by Putin.
You don't think it's going to be an inner appointment?
No, because Putin, where does he get the money from? Although the money now is self, you can get it from your own activities on the ground and the fortunes they probably managed to get themselves. But you would say that if you want to work under the directive of Russia, then it will be someone that Putin will have to say he gives you approval to it. Does it weaken the Wagner group now? Yes. Does that mean they have the same abilities they had before? No. Does that mean that they are able to perform and do things as easily as it did before? No. So the big question is, was it worth or is it worthwhile for Putin to eliminate the head of Wagner Group, knowing that he's going to weaken the group that actually he created that helps him? And that is for Putin to answer. But as he did do it, then obviously in his mind, the punishment for what he did had to be seen and had to be a message to not only to him and the Wagner Group, but to anyone else who wants to go against the regime.
Not a quiet poison, fireworks in the sky instead.
Now you'd say this is from a legal point of view. If he authorized the execution or the downing of a plane of a civilian airline with 10 people on it, he's condemning them to death with no court. So he's the prosecutor, the judge, and the executor.
Judge, jury, and execution. Yes.
Now, okay, maybe one of them deserved or two of them deserved if they come to the court to be executed under maybe Russian laws for treason. But what about the rest? So from that point of view,
due process is not really popular in Russia.
So this is we're not always seeing a country shooting down its own aircraft in their territory.
We don't know if it's been shot down. It's speculation.
If it has been shot down. Now, if it hasn't been... Now, let's say it hasn't been... It wasn't shot down.
How lucky for them.
No, no. If it wasn't shot down and someone else did it, not Putin.
Right.
What does the show say about Putin and about his power over everybody?
And the security of flying in Moscow.
What does it say about the ability of Putin to control everything? If he did authorize it and he went to the concert to show, guys, I had nothing to do with it. I was at a concert. What do you want? I wasn't in a war room waiting to see the results. Because it's nothing to do with me. I had nothing to do with it. If you had nothing to do with it, then you have a problem if you had nothing to do with it. Because it happened in your country, under your watch, in your state, in a Russian airspace, shot down by a Russian airline or a Russian missile.
If it was shot down.
If it was shot down. If it wasn't shot down, what does it mean about what goes on? So does it mean that you have control over the scenario?
Well, let's be the most generous that we can. If it was a technical error and the plane went down, okay.
But then
why did the second plane turn around?
He would have condemned it. He would have come up to the raid to say, our beloved patriot, our Russian hero, has fallen. Because he was a Russian patriot. He made a martyr out of him now. Mm-hmm.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary. Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
He's now become a martyr. Whatever, how bad he was and how people maybe disliked him, and a lot of people disliked him because he was cruel and his methods were not...
Prigozhin, you're talking about.
Yeah, Prigozhin. He now died a different death. He's going into the history books as something different. When he entered the world, he did not think he'll come out the way he did.
When he was selling hot dogs,
he didn't think he'll be...
Shot down on a plane,
shot down on a plane by the president of Russia, in Russia. So this is interesting from the point of view of how the Russians will see the situation. Because the West will always say Putin's a butcher, a murderer, whatever. And they will say it anyway.
President Biden said that nothing happens in Russia without Putin knowing about it.
Exactly.
So that's the American take.
Well, I think things happen in Russia that not always Putin knows about it of that, because
for sure.
That's why
it's just there was a saying, that's obviously.
I know. But first of all, Biden's right to say that. Second, the march was not planned.
Right.
So for Putin to be in a scenario as a president, and a long-serving president who was in control, who sees himself as the man in charge, he had to do something. Did he have to do it over Russia? That is an interesting question. Would have been better if he would have been shot by someone in Africa while he was there, further away. But this was something different. This was for everybody to see. So I think we should look at it as, I'm sending a message to anyone who wants to topple me or do something against my decisions. This is your end. This is your fate.
Yeah, I mean...
And that is, I think that is the message that he's sending. It's not specifically against Prigozhin. It's about... anyone who comes in the future who thinks he can topple him.
Look, Prigozhin obviously was a thorn in his side. He didn't like the fact that he got away with what he did, and it made him look weak. The elections are coming up. Maybe there's murmurings. Putin's not as strong as he was, etc., etc. There was even talk about health issues for Putin. This is a message, certainly, that could be said, as you've said, don't mess with me. I will put my boot down, and... you will not get away with it. I'm still the man.
Right. Well, we still have to hear more what goes on. Now, if you look at it from the war in Ukraine, what does it actually mean? There's a stalemate at the moment. There's not much happening. The Wagner Group will not be able to perform and execute the orders they wanted as they did before. They won't have the motivation. They won't have the energies. And
the leadership.
And the leadership as well. Maybe there'll be the upper echelon leadership is not there, but maybe the battalion heads and other figures that were leading them mm-hmm. may be there. But there'll be something missing in the spirit of how they performed.
Right.
So if you look at it for Ukraine, is this a good thing that happened? They're happy that they got rid of someone who was very problematic for them.
For Ukraine was not a popular guy.
But were they happy with him when he started to march towards Prigozhin. Moscow? They were happy because it weakened Russia.
Absolutely.
So for the Ukraine point of view, will it change something on the battleground? I don't see at the moment a specific
not
change.
Not particularly, because Wagner was also pulled out, really, from Ukraine to a certain extent.
Although they're still not completely pulled out. But there's no real more battles coming in.
Right.
I think it will make it easier to integrate the Wagner group in Ukraine into the Russian army. Mm-hmm. I think there'll have to be a split, and the Wagner group that would be working abroad again will have to do it in a quiet way, maybe less profile. And Prigozhin became an international figure, if he liked it or not. Who made him international figure was Putin by bringing him into Russia.
By buying his hot dogs, he made him a national figure.
Well, that was earlier. That's why be careful when you buy who you buy hot dogs from.
Yes.
But that's not the story here. So I think that it's a bit early to see the influence it will have, but I think the message is very loud and clear from Putin's point of view.
What do you think the chances are of a revenge from Wagner against Putin?
Not at all.
Action?
Nothing. They're in no position to do anything. I mean, I'm saying it as if I know. No. That's not the game. That's not the game they're playing. They're not there for that. They're actually working for the Russian interests and for their own interests. They're not going to go. They don't have any aspirations to do anything but what they were going to do. Mm-hmm.
Definitely, we've seen on numerous occasions in our assassination episodes the martyring effect of assassinating someone. That so many times when a person is assassinated, a high echelon person, they become martyred. You know, and the very things that you've been trying to crush through the assassination take on a life of their own and go a different way. If you think about Julius Caesar, when he was assassinated and the senators trying to bring down the dictatorship, eventually led to the people almost killing all the senators and revolting because of their love for Caesar.
Yeah.
People were cheering Prigozhin in the street.
I see a scenario where after Putin is gone, there'll be statues of Prigozhin in Russia, and there'll be a Hollywood movie and make him not a hero, but he will have a little footnote.
When do you think Putin's going to be gone, though? You assume that it's going to be so...
When you turn to your 50th birthday, I don't know. That's going to be many years from now.
You think his power is going to hold?
Yes. It's up to him to decide
when he wants
to leave. No one else will move him, especially after now.
I think it's claimed, or there's he might be one of the wealthiest people on the planet. There's no real understanding of what his net worth is, but he has private wealth in the billions and billions.
Well, if you can't spend it, it doesn't make any difference how much you have.
It's true.
But that's not the issue. The issue is he's weakened the military people who are strong, have proven in this war that they're not so strong. So there's no big hero coming out of the military. The question is, in the Russian government, is there anybody to oppose Putin? And I don't think there's anyone. And the only person that had a chance to show that he has some kind of independent thinking was now eliminated.
And he had military to back him.
Yes. You know? So therefore, it's understood why he had to be eliminated. Now, when you go back 2 months ago, everybody thought that that's the end of Prigozhin even before then. Everybody thought...
He was living on borrowed time.
Yes, he's going to Belarus. It was a deal with Belarus, but they won't keep the promise. He'll be arrested, put in jail, and put into some kind of a prison. Well, he ended up his life earlier than he expected.
Well, you'd think, you know, I talked about the timeline of what happened the 2 months after. If Putin wanted to do this, couldn't he have done it earlier? Why this whole facade of 2 months? Why take the time? Was it an information gathering? Understand really who was behind it, what the best course of action, or to set up the things for Wagner so that they'd be away, they'd be occupied, they'd already be in their new tasks, and then get rid of
them. It's very bold to do what he did, or to be in a scenario where you shoot down, in your own country, in your own territory, an opponent with other people on the plane. This is, I can't remember any episode at this stage. We talked about different assassinations, but that someone had to make a decision to do this. Now, it's not a technical issue, we know that. If it was something, it wasn't a technical problem, the plane wouldn't have gone down the way it did. The only thing that I can think of, there was explosives on the plane, and someone tampered with them or did something to them, and it blew up the plane. Yes, very not likely. Any decision that was made by whoever made it had to go up all the way to the top. You cannot do a thing like that. Even where? Does it go off immediately when it leaves the airport? Does it mean it crashes into a city? Everything around it indicates that this was something more planned. Even the fact that there were, you would say, pictures taken and cameras relatively quite quickly showing the plane coming down. Very interesting thing to think about. I know there's talk about it, but I don't want to go into it because I don't know enough. But it's, you would have seen a debris, but you would have seen, how do they know that exactly at that moment to look at a certain place to see the plane coming down? I don't know.
There's Why talk about one plane and not the other? What if Prigozhin was on the other plane?
I did not hear about the other plane, so I can't tell you about it. Again, it shows you that they knew something. It's very interesting because you don't always see executions, if we call it an execution, the way it was done.
Very public, very visual, if it was.
Yes. And
with an element of plausible deniability, though.
Of course. Everything is... it'll take a long time for the committee to make a decision of how the plane came down, and it will be inconclusive.
You think it would have been better, though, to assassinate him if it was an assassination when he was in Africa, let's say? Or is it sending a message that in Moscow you're not safe? Like,
well, he knew in Moscow he was not safe, but I would have... And in Belarus, it would have been not good to do something in Belarus after he gave his promise to the Belarusian president, Lukashenko, and maybe he need him for something in the future. I am sure there's things we don't know that, obviously, if we knew, it would have made it more, we were able to talk more about it. You would think that to find someone to assassinate him would have been easier than to use your full military capability if there was a missile. To take someone down is much more serious as a decision maker than to say to someone, here's money, your job is to assassinate him, go out in Africa, find him, shoot him, and do something. This is a much bigger...
It's a bigger commitment. But
it's bigger. Yeah. It's more of a...
But it's safer as well. It's a safer commitment. I mean, maybe the fear is, if it wouldn't have succeeded, if he would have hired someone to try to kill Prigozhin in Africa, where it's his home turf, let's say, and it doesn't succeed,
yes,
or he finds out about
it. Yes, but the deniability is bigger.
Deniability is bigger.
Here he can't deny that he did it. He's going to say... He was betrayed as a traitor. He was sentenced to death. We executed the sentence. He didn't even have a trial. He got pardoned or didn't get pardoned. The other people were not in the same category.
Since when does Putin care about human lives?
I don't know about that. I don't know. He cares about his own, but that's not the point. I'm not talking about to make a joke out of it. But there's a difference between a state doing it, shooting down a plane in your own country, with your own citizens in it. There's a message here
Of course,
I don't remember any other country shooting down their own plane with people...
Private plane. It's not a military plane.
It's a private plane. Even worse. With people who have no idea what's going on.
Yeah.
It's unique.
Mm.
Now, if it wasn't shot down, we have to reassess everything. But even if it wasn't, as I said...
Okay. If it wasn't shot down and it was a technical error... The second plane, why would it have returned? Why would it have turned around? Why not continue to think? Maybe you think you also have a technical error. If it was a technical error, you would have radioed the other plane.
No, so there's a technical error. You're thinking maybe you're going to be shut down as well. So
but I'm saying if it was a technical error.
Yeah.
Okay. If it was explosives on the plane, right? again, I think that's too risky. What if it doesn't work? What if it doesn't go off? What if it's discovered?
He doesn't take the risk. He doesn't. Why would he want to take explosives on the plane?
The safest thing is it was shot down. If it was an elimination attempt, that's the safest thing.
We will have to see when the Russian investigation will come out very soon. I'm sure.
I'm sure. Very timely.
And it will
see
probably
what the black box on the plane says.
Probably indicate some
technical error.
Something
munitions went off on the plane, causing
or
damage.
Something other than the real reality. But it makes it interesting because not every day you open the news and you find out that these things happen.
Not the first time a civilian plane has gone down over Russia.
Well, a civilian plane went down over Ukraine by the Russians shooting down a Malaysian airline.
Yes.
So they're used to shooting down civilian planes, right?
So it seems.
Yes, not the first time.
So it seems. Anything else you want to say on this?
No, I think it's interesting because of the figures and because we're witnessing history as it is done, and we'll see where it takes us.
Prigozhin must have assumed that there were dangers flying and doing these things. How much precautions can you take if you're targeted by a Russian missile, huh?
You play with fire, you are...
You're going to get burned.
You're going to get burned.
So, to conclude, I will leave with the same quote that I ended the Julius Caesar episode on, which is from William Shakespeare. A coward dies 1,000 times before his death, but the valiant taste of death but once. It seems to me most strange that men should fear, seeing that death, a necessary end, will come when it will come. This was Spies and Lies. Thanks for listening. And remember,
when you sell hot dogs to the wrong person, you never know where you're going to end up.
Spies and Lies is a Grumpy Golem production, with original scoring and mastering by Julian Dussault. If you enjoyed listening, don't forget to share with your friends, and leave a comment or review wherever you listen from. If you have any questions or subjects you'd like for my father and I to cover, drop us a message, and we'll do our best to get back to you. Until next time.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.